Blog Talk Radio.
That that is a true fact. This is a man's world, but it would be nothing without us women and girls. That is so true. Well, today we have a fabulous, fabulous show, and it's pretty interesting, and I hope I can learn from all of our scholars out there, because the scholars out there can give us all kinds of information about the Supreme Court. I'm just so happy and thrilled that we have all these wonderful minds on here to talk about some of the issues of today. And we have Dr. Criswell with us today, who is a former president of the San Francisco, California chapter of the NAACP. And he is one of our great, great elders who is very, very knowledgeable about a lot of different things. And I know that you can take us back historically to this Supreme Court, Dr. Criswell, as well as even into probably the armed forces when the information and the armed services were integrated, and the role of the Supreme Court justices during that time. So if you could give us a little bit of a backdrop on your thoughts about that, that would be awesome to start this show off with that kind of knowledge and wisdom. What can you say about it?
It's certainly a pleasure to get the opportunity to talk again on your show. I appreciate you inviting me. We're in a strange position. And I don't know how it's going to work, but we lost the justice, and that makes a vacancy on the Supreme Court, and he was one that's been there a long time, because his decisions weren't all that good, not for us.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
He made a lot of decisions, but they went on for us, and there's a lot of decisions hanging now that are not good for us, and he was going to have the opportunity to be, actually he was a swing vote on those cases that are hanging now. We have, you know, a number of cases that I don't know where they go. I guess they go back to the Ninth Circuit and all of those Fifth Circuit and the places where they came from on the appeal. But my understanding is that those cases that was appealed to the United States Supreme Court will now go back to of where they came from, and they will become law if they don't get a fifth judge on the United States Supreme Court. And I hope that you get one. Anyway.
Oh, wow. And that's therein lies the problem and the question, that there is a fight determining whether or not a sitting president will be able to appoint one. The argument is that the congressional and the House of Representatives are going to sit on this thing, and they're not going to do their job, and whatever he comes up with, they're basically saying they're going to not act upon it, and they're basically saying we're going to stall it until a new president comes on board, that Barack Obama, the sitting president, will not be able to appoint another Supreme Court justice. And then here lies another snafu around those decisions that are being made. They're looking at, what is it, I think it's Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg. You know, she's barely sitting up in that bench. If you can look, she's kind of leaning over. It's like, is she going to make it through each day? And so there may be two coming out, or if something were to happen to any others, that might be too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting to hear some of the reporters talk about, well, I guess if he does appoint somebody, it has to be somebody just like Scalia. Well, they must be out of their minds. Who would want some more of that? They are out of their minds. They're crazy because the president can select and nominate whomever he pleases or she pleases to that Supreme Court. They don't have to be like the one there. If anything, you definitely don't want them like that, because they're the reason we got Citizens United, because they were kowtowing to this Tea Party garbage, and we're in a terrible mix with that Supreme Court anyway. And then poor Clarence Thomas, only God knows what he's going to do without his head with him, Scalia. That was his head on his shoulder. He was a double-headed man, but he really didn't have a mind of his own. He was strictly bought out with Scalia. Yeah.
Well, Miss Hattie, can you hear me? Well, I was listening at the news last night, and they had these scholar lawyers on last night, and they said, this is how it go. The decisions that came to the court, and if it's a tie, he said automatically that decision that was made in that lower court would automatically stand. That's how that would go. And then another thing, they kept last night on all the news shows, if you were listening, they kept saying Loretta Lynch. They just kept bringing her name up to nominate her. So we don't really know who he's going to go with. But then also they did history last night, and they said that a president don't normally appoint anybody when it's election. Well, that's a lie. They pulled it up last night. There have been 6 appointees during election time. 6. It have been 6. And so they cannot use that argument. That is just the white man don't want him to make that decision. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't want him to put nobody else on there that's with all this gay marriage and stuff. People marrying men and women marrying women. So me personally, I'm not for that. I don't believe in that. So I don't want him putting somebody who is for all that stuff. Not me.
Oh, yeah. How y'all doing?
What do you think, Mr. Canty?
Hello?
Go right on, Mr. Canty.
Good. Well, I think that we have to understand that, to be very clear, the president is being held hostage by fascist Republicans. Don't forget, Senator Connor said, when President Obama was in his first term of office, he said, we're going to make sure that President Obama will be a one-term president. And lo and behold, because it didn't go that way, and the president became a second-term president, they really showed their true colors of white supremacy mentality, everything that they could do to derail or to hold back nominating and electing people or ratified persons that he appointed, like Ms. Lynch. Look, it took for poor Ms. Lynch to become the Attorney General. So the Supreme Court right now is being usurped by white supremacists who want to, so to say, disobey the Constitution, not pay the Constitution any mind, and deny this president his constitutional right to choose who he wants to be on the Supreme Court bench. The man took. Scalia has not even been funeralized yet, let alone buried. He hasn't even been funeralized yet. And they're already lining up to make sure this president cannot carry out his constitutional duties as president. So we have to be very clear what this all means when, don't forget, the Republicans usurp their authority and abuse their authority and rigged the calling of George W. as the next president when the people had no say.
That's right. And I think that was led by Scalia, wasn't it?
You're damn right. And we got to be very clear that Scalia was the typical fascist Italian that came from Palermo, Sicily, and forgot all his roots as to how the Italians in that part of the world are considered the niggers of Europe. To this day, if a northern Italian father catches a southern Italian man messing with his daughter, even if that man is in uniform, he is dead meat today. Scalia even admitted he was probably discriminated against because he couldn't get into Princeton. But what I'm saying is that this man, Scalia, former mayor of New York City, Giuliani, these guys are dangerous men who swing the way. Well, just yesterday, Italians were not considered white. Just yesterday. And this man, Scalia, my mother always said, if you can't say anything good about the dead, don't say nothing. So I say this. Scalia is dead good. He was a terrible devil. He was a real great thoroughbred devil. And the doggone Clarence Thomas was the typical self-hated Negro that whatever Scalia would say, Clarence Thomas had no questions to ask. He represents everything, including the executing of Troy Anthony Davis, where they had no physical evidence. They turned it over to Clarence Thomas because he was from Georgia, and they didn't decide the fate of Troy Anthony Davis. He's in his grave today, a man put to death with no physical evidence. So let's show you, the Supreme Court long became a problem for black folks when George W. began putting on the likes of Scalia, and it was going downhill. Put it this way, the Supreme Court was going downhill when Thurgood Marshall left the bench.
That's right. Ever since Thurgood Marshall has been gone, it's been curtains for the black community in America.
Yep.
Hello?
Yes, what else would you like to add, Dorothy?
That wasn't me. I think that must have been a shoe, ain't it?
Oh, that's Sarah. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, ladies.
Oh, hey, Sarah. Oh, my God,
Sarah.
Good to hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ladies. Yes.
Can you talk?
Hello.
Oh, Sarah, can you talk today?
Yes, ma'am. I'm I can talk.
Well, I know you got a good fan for us. We have been missing you. Come on, Sarah, with it. Come on with it.
No, what I was going to say to dispute what Tanti was saying, you know, I'm not going to dump so much on Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas is only one black man on the court, and we know that he has issues with his blackness. But we can't just look at Clarence Thomas and blame there are eight white people on that court besides Clarence Thomas being by himself.
Yeah.
We have to go back to the Dred Scott decision and what happened with that Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court has never been a friend of black people. As a matter of fact, no court has ever been the friend of black people. So I don't see why we are so hell-bent and we are hanging on and trying to look to see who this president is going to put on this bench. Either which way, it's not going to serve our interests. And that's what I'm trying to get us out from stop being dependent on government to be our savior. If the government that was responsible and is still responsible for the condition that we are in, so why are we expecting that this same government who is benefiting from this condition that somebody ought to become our savior? They are not. So I'm not going to blame Clarence Thomas, even though, yes, he is a problem, but I'm not going to put the blame solely on this one black man on that court and leave out all these other eight white people on that bench. No. They are responsible. And as you said, Scalia is a self-hating Italian because, Canty said, they've always been the Italian, the Jews, and the Irish have always been the niggers of the white race. And when they came to the United States and they've been allowed to join the clique and become white, they've got to find somebody black to step on to show that their addition to the white club has been justified. And like everybody else who kick us around and we allow them to kick us around, they always got to find a nigger to dump on. Because anybody who's down in the polls, as we've seen all around this place, if they're running a campaign and they're down in the polls, how about make some nigger jokes find somebody black to talk about, and therefore your number is going to start skyrocketing. So they play these dog whistle politics, and we are used as that football to get kicked around. And it's time that we stop allowing ourselves to get used.
Hey, I'm with you, Sarah. Good to hear your voice. I just feel that when you have a rigged election, as far as each week was just on over a little over an hour ago, if you guys missed what she was saying, you missed a royal treat. She's on every day, one until two on Block Radio.
Yeah, I heard you, Therese, earlier today.
Yeah, you hear what she said about how the Democrats got it rigged with this so-called voting for the primaries. Even though she would lose against Sanders, she still wins with the super PAC. The super PAC.
She won with the super delegate. It's the super delegate,
yeah.
Because we saw,
yeah,
the super delegate,
yeah,
play it out.
That's rigged. That's rigged. It's a rigged
mess. The whole system is rigged, Kent. You know, that's why I can't understand why y'all are so focused on elections. This election has already been decided. They're just playing all the theatrics within which to get you to feel as if though you are a part of it by running and voting. This stuff is already, it's already been decided. These people are just actors on the stage that's playing their respective roles. Everybody
that's
already knows who's going to be in that White House come January next year.
Yeah,
but
so
black
we don't,
people are the only people.
We don't have a democracy. We have an autocracy. And that is something that black people had better face that we never had. For blacks, it was never a democracy because we was always told, you be a part of the election, not be a part of the selection. So we're not in those back rooms where the decision is made who's going to be the candidate for alderman, mayor, congressman, senator, on up to governors. We're told who to vote for. I don't know what happened to the blacks in Michigan, but I heard from someone who lives out there, they told me that blacks stayed home and didn't come out to vote in record numbers when Snyder ran for governor. You see the results.
Sandy, let me back you all up here. I am sick and tired of hearing black people getting blamed for every goddamn election in this country that we didn't come out to vote, or it's our damn fault that we didn't get votes. I don't see people blaming Latinos, Asians, Arabs, and telling them the same goddamn thing that you're telling us. And I look around and I see all these damn lines of black people taking the day off from work to vote. I don't see no Arabs, no Chinese, no Asian, Chinese goddamn lines to vote for shit, and they get everything they want. I'm tired of y'all blaming us.
If we are the swing vote, and we never made any concession demands, we are the ones that have made the fool of, because we never knew how to gain a politics that's trained, that's played in this country. We are the swing vote. Florida,
we're not no swing vote. We are not the swing vote for anything. Where did you get this idea?
My dear, in Florida 2000, Florida 2000, and then 2004 in Ohio, it showed that blacks were the swing vote, and had blacks not been disenfranchised, Al Gore would have been the president of the United States. But because Afrophobic. Al Gore was a closet Afrophobic. He didn't want to use race as a centerpiece. That's how it became the jive of Republicans formulating a real trick by having Supreme Court justices who was Republican appointees and didn't even recuse themselves. They decided who was going to be the next president of the United States.
You're not understanding civics at all, because you are going back again and blaming black people and saying, okay, we got disenfranchised. That ain't got a damn thing to do with Al Gore. Al Gore didn't win the state of Tennessee. That's his own home state. If Al Gore would have carried Tennessee, I forget Florida, forget Ohio, his ass would have been the damn winner. So I don't even want to hear a damn thing about black people getting blamed for Florida or Ohio.
They were serious about blacks not having their ability, one man, one vote, and they took away, they disenfranchised blacks in Florida 2000, and it was worse in Ohio because they had a black man supervising next
to
his own
people. Black people have always been taken off the goddamn roads. We have always had to play these stupid games. So I am not going to let anybody sit up here and blame black people for no damn lost election. Al Gore should have won his own goddamn home state. If he was so much of a kid, if I'm running for office and I can't win in my own damn district, but I'm going to go and ban people in a other district for me not getting office, that's my damn fault. That's
I still maintain the swing vote means what it says. And black folks were disenfranchised in both Florida and then in Ohio in 2004. They had a black man to make sure that his own people were disenfranchised. This black man was the Secretary of State of Ohio. And he had promised George W. that he would be a two-term president, and he carried it out by having his own people disenfranchised in Ohio. That was 2004. But earlier, I maintained...
Regardless, if he did that, Cassie, if Blackwell was who was the Secretary of State for the Ohio, and what, yeah. regardless of what Blackwell might have done in Ohio, and regardless of what might have taken place in Florida, it always comes back to Gore. You see, I don't like this damn anti-blackness that I hear from a lot of black people. We always like to dump on black people and blame us for shit that white people are not getting blamed for. Al Gore is a white man, and he carried the state of Tennessee. If the people in Tennessee didn't want his ass to be in that White House, I am not going to let the blame fall on black people's goddamn shoulder. I'm sick and tired of black people blaming other black people for shit that the white man do.
All I'm saying is that if the black people's vote, now better enough we don't make concession demands before we cast our vote. We don't make no concession demands. That's our fault. But what I'm saying is that the bigger fault is that if they want to disenfranchise black people, they can do it and get away with it. It happened in Florida and 4 years later in Ohio. That's all I'm saying. It's not kind of sketchy talking. It's the record saying that there was the deliberate disenfranchisement of black people's vote being thrown out in Florida. And then worse
and
in Ohio.
That is nothing new. What happened right there in New York, where the ballot in New York, it was shown that Barack Obama didn't want no votes in certain precincts in New York that was majority black. Before we start worrying about what's going on in other states, first of all, like I always keep telling people, you don't control the goddamn ballot box. Black people, we do not control the box. You go and you vote, and you don't even know if your particular vote that you said that you cast and your name is on that voter roll, if your vote actually counts. You can't even guarantee it because you don't even know if your vote counts.
What is really the bad, Sarah, what is really, really bad is that Yatrice pointed it out earlier today. You've got these superdelegates that are already in the hip pocket of Hillary Clinton. Now, the NAACP has never challenged that.
That doesn't even make no difference. Cassie, that don't even make any difference. Forget the superdelegates. I can say with a straight face because I know civics. Forget what the hell about the goddamn superdelegates. The whole point of the matter is this, regardless of superdelegates or not, black people don't control anything in this country, regardless of, and if our, like we said, this is once again it comes back to being dependent on the government. If our whole sole basis of existence is to depend on a government, whether it be state, federal, in order to be our salvation, then we are some bad shit, because I don't see that to no other group of people, whether it be the Asians, the Chinese, or whoever. They are not dependent on the damn government for anything. It's time we stop being so dependent on it.
It is true. But it's also true that they depend on us. We are the agency. Even said so today. Hillary considered the black vote her firewall.
We're not no damn firewall. Where the hell are you getting these things from?
Hillary people are saying that they consider the black vote their firewall, like in South Carolina.
Because they're ignorant and they don't know any better.
You get people like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. I'm not going to yell fraud the way the Democratic Party, the process of how they get these delegates.
Let me say this. Let me try to cut in on a couple of things, because one of the things that I hear you saying, Canty, is that our vote does count. Sarah is saying we need to be self-sufficient and we need to get out of a mindset of pretending that there is a big participation of masses of black people. However, I just say locally, I believe we do make a difference nationally because of the delegation, the super delegates how it's already rigged. We do already know who the president is going to be because of the delegates that will go there, and already that's already been set in motion. However, I want to flip back for just a brief discussion. When you guys mentioned South Carolina, that reminded me that in South Carolina, they were doing some things yesterday. And what I want to get is, can you guys think of a way, and I don't know if you have any, I know, Sarah, you probably have known about there's a South Carolina Supreme Court justice who is in line to be the chief justice there, and I believe his last name is Beatty, Don Beatty. And so there's something going on with his seat there where the whites want to skip over him and go to this white guy who's on that panel. So that's something that we need to watch about, and I'd like to know if any of you have some knowledge about that in terms of the South Carolina Don Beatty's position, who is in line next, an African-American man, this black judge. And the tradition has been that the one with the most seniority is the next one in line for chief justice. And so now they want to change the rule up on that. Talk to us about that.
That's
Sarah. Let's hear Sarah first, and then you, Mr. Canty.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's normally how it goes when it comes to the position of the chief justice on the state Supreme Court. It normally goes by seniority, and it's normally done by voting. All of the fellow justices on the court, they're supposed to do by secret ballot as to who it is that they want to be for the chief justice. It has nothing to do with outside. Well, of course, outside influence is going to play a role on it, but that's how it does, because I remember in Georgia when Chief Justice Leah Ward Sears, who is now since retired, when she was the Chief Justice, that's how they voted, and they put her on this black woman. That's how she got her position on the court. But South Carolina, as we already know, South Carolina is one of these states that is always out here, because they're the ones who started the secessionist movement, and they're the ones who did all of this other stuff going all the way back. They have always played a key role in our position here as black people in this country. So whatever it is that they might decide to do, either put this man on the bench, you know, it's who knows.
Okay.
Well,
any thoughts on that, Canty? Have you heard
I only feel that unless this brother is willing to have his legal team to challenge what they're trying to do to usurp or abuse the law and go over his head and not give him the right to be the next Supreme Court justice. It's only because...
Now, there has been discussion that there's going to be a hell of a fight, so that'll be interesting to watch the fight in South Carolina. Dr. Criswell, have you... heard about that one?
I heard a little about it, and what I think happens is that each year a different judge takes the leadership, and it's done automatically, and they want to not give this judge an opportunity for the leadership. It's kind of hinted around. It hasn't really come to fore yet. Hinted around that they want to pass over him. But
right.
I don't think he's going to let that happen, because it's not automatic, you know. And when it's your turn to be the leader of the justices, it's going to be your turn, your leadership. But I don't think that he'll let them do that. And they'll be called up on the carpet if they do, and be, you know, called, their hands will be called. They don't want to be looked at in that manner. I think they'll pull it off, and he'll become the leader of his term, that whenever his term comes.
Okay. Can I say something, Ms. Hattie? Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Just like Ms. Sarah said, it is the white man always got a plan, and no matter what, even when the black folks try to do something, you can't do nothing. Like, we know this black man is next in line, but the white man always sitting back thinking away to try to scheme somebody out of something and scheme this man out of his position. And if he gets schemed out of his position and people don't start talking about it, the best way he going to get that position is people got to start getting on the radio like we doing, talking about it. It's got to make it to the media, and you got to expose them for what they are and let people see. And then you got to start boycotting and saying, okay, this the way you are? Okay, we're not going to bring no business here. So this is what you got to do. They crooked. They low down. They evil. Then just like Sarah, I agree with Sarah 100%. We can't blame everything on the black man. The white man, he got this in play, and he sets the black man out there just to be the downfall, and the black man ain't got sense enough to see it because he's so worried about trying to make it to the top to make some money. And whatever way he going to get his money, to make his money, that's what he going to do. But he don't know. He the dummy. He the downfall. But the white man laid the underpass. They crooked and they evil.
Well, that is very true. That is a lot of biasness. It's a lot of evilness. It is a lot of corruption. And generally, you're right, Sarah, I would agree with you too. When it's our turn for a position, because I've had it happen to me, as assistant principal, it's usually the next one in line there for seniority, and they will find a way to, if they have to, they'll go change the rule so that you don't get that head position, because they always want to make sure you don't reach that level where you can make the decisions to impact what you need to impact, which would really behoove us to try to really figure out ways that we can become entrepreneurs, where we can have our own business and our own way of operating in certain things. Not to say that we can and don't operate in this whole world with all the other cultures and whatever, but we each need to have our own economic community. And I'm hoping that there's a place, a group out of Atlanta, Sarah, and I can't call it right now, but they're starting to do some things like that, and they're going to take a national tour to do that. And I don't know if you've heard of them. But before we leave today, I do want to come on and get a little bit of information from our wonderful Black Rose about the Flint, Michigan. But anybody else have anything else to talk about? The South Carolina Supreme Court Justice Don Beatty and them trying to start bamboozling him out of becoming the Chief Justice there. Now, I understand the reason they don't want him to become the Chief Justice is that he has made some decisions in the past that really do not align with white supremacy, and that's really what his problem is. Because if, in fact, he was aligning up with white supremacy, like some of our other black self-hating people that are from Africa, African descent, descendants of slaves were doing, then he would be just fine to fit in that position. And so we know that he has made some decisions, and actually he put the prosecutors on the state of South Carolina on notice that they weren't going to be able to do some of the stuff that they've been doing. And he did that in a seat and position in which he's in now, where he said, that was that man's main problem with him. And I can't call the guy's name, but he was the one that was saying, well, we want to skip over him and go to this other white guy because he'll keep this intact. Now, how in the Sam Dickens do you think some black man want to keep some white supremacy intact in the state of South Carolina, where there has been recently a mass shooting of plain people and a senator, a state senator, sitting up in a church?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, and so that's just crazy to me.
Believe the Clarence Thomas, he wouldn't mind doing just the bidding of the enemy of black people, because when you get a self-hating Negro like Clarence Thomas, it's limitless. It's limitless what they won't do to hurt their own people. It's limitless.
Well, that's true, but that's why this man is having trouble.
I wouldn't go so far. You see, we have got to stop black people. Yeah, we got to blame our people when they do us in. But we cannot look at one man that's sitting on a bench of nine and look at him as being solely responsible for what all these other age white people are doing. He is just one of a two that are being used, and because he's black, and white people know that they can always pull one of us out front to let us throw slings and arrows at them while it's sneaking off around the corner to do us in more harm. I am not going to blame Clarence Thomas alone for all this when we got Scalia, we got Roberts, we got all of these right wing who have been on this damn court and been doing us in before Clarence Thomas get on the doggone bench.
My dear, when you have such a close vote on the bench at the Supreme Court, you got Scalia, who is a fascist, or was a fascist, and you got his stooge, who has no question to ask about what is right, what is wrong. That's two against you, and with the other moderates or conservatives, it's stacked against people who want justice from the Supreme Court. It's stacked against us. Now, you've got to deal with a man who wants to be fair and be a just judge in South Carolina. He is an enemy to white supremacy. So, therefore, it renders him to be ousted and bypassed, breaking their laws of seniority, because that's how white supremacy rolls. Our people don't go out.
And well, so, Canty, but this is one thing that Sarah, I will have to go back on Sarah and say, you're absolutely right, because I actually said the same thing about Scalia. Because when we talk about Scalia and we talked about him doing the Citizens United piece and pushing that and him aligning himself with the Tea Party thoughts and philosophies and theories, he's only one vote on that Supreme Court. And I said the same thing when they came up with Citizens United and everybody was just in such awe, and the Tea Party, and, you know, and it was so bizarre. And even when you talk about these corporations being people, that was not just Scalia. It was all of the Supreme Court. You had to have more than just Scalia doing that. And so, Sarah, I totally agree with you. But right now I want to bring in the Black Rose. Black Rose, would you like to weigh in on this, or would you like to talk about the water crisis and education crisis in Flint, Michigan? Uh-oh, did we lose you there? Oh, I think we lost her. Yep.
She'll come
something
back.
Okay,
yeah,
maybe
she'll
call back.
But what I was going to say, Mother Hattie, on this situation here with this judge, Judge Donald Beatty, that's being scheduled to go on the court. White people would always prefer to have anyone on there, because the Chief Justice that's on this court right now, he's a Greek. He's one of those so-called ethnic whites that just got admitted into the white club, and just like the Italians, the Greeks, the Irish, and the Jews, that just got the standing as being a part of the white group.
Oh, okay.
So this man, he's the chief judge. He's the chief justice, and these other four associate justices that are under him, with Mr. Beatty being the most senior of the bunch because he has more tenure than the others on the group. And if say goes on a rotational base, I don't know. I'd have to research to see how South Carolina appoints their people. Then it would naturally be he should be the one next up in line to get to sit on that bench. But I would have to also go back and look at his rulings to see what this black man is doing, because we can't be so quick to put somebody black on a bench, because a lot of times we've been running too much skin politics for our people. We always want to see people that share our skin tone to be in position, and a lot of times we don't do our research to see what their background
That's
is like.
That's true, and they don't have the black consciousness.
Exactly. They don't have our black interests in line. They want to use us as a stepping stone to advance themselves, like we see
That's
with Loretta
true.
Lynch.
So
you know,
true.
Well, you know, when Clarence Thomas was first nominated, Thurgood Marshall said, "A black snake will bite you as quick as a white snake." And then to gain our sympathy, Clarence Thomas said he was going through a legal lynching. And he gained our sympathy for him being ostracized or vilified, but it was clear that Clarence Thomas was a real trickster who hated black people, hated himself, and we found
out. I wouldn't use a strong word, Scanty. I would not use a strong word.
I'm going by his record, Sarah. I'm going by his record.
His records are showing you that as a black man who was used as a tool, because white people groomed him to put him in that position, because Clarence Thomas came out of Missouri. He was worked for Senator Danforth out of Missouri. He's the one who recommended Clarence Thomas. He was a Monsanto corporate lawyer. You've got to look at the background of these people. This is how he came up. And he was groomed from the start to be used for white people. And what else you expect? White people had him in their clutches. From his wives to everything else, they had him in his clutches. They trained him.
I don't expect
nothing better from him.
Yeah, he was ruined when he went through the Catholic school system. He went through the Catholic school system, and they got to his brains even early on then. So he already had a foundation set where the die was cast.
Clarence Thomas, not only from the Catholic school system, Clarence Thomas grew up in right there in Pinpoint, Georgia, as a dark-skinned black child, where he said his fellow black people, they used to refer to him as ABC. That was to call Clarence Thomas, America's Blackest Child. And that came out of the mouth of black people. And we've got to look at ourselves.
You are so right. And that's where his hatred for black people and himself.
Because we started telling him, but him being charbroiled and all this kind of nonsense that we do to black children. We've got to stop it. Because we damage these children. The enemy see what we do.
That is so
true.
They
take them on and they use them as a tool against us. Because we started it from childhood.
So true. So true.
The youth today so freely use the N-word, and no one never tells them the origin of that N-word.
It's not the N-word, it's nigger. I'm not going to say no goddamn N-word. It's the word nigger.
All right, fine.
White sanitizer, because we didn't create the word. They create the damn word.
Our young people don't know the origin of that word, and they don't like the young men don't know the origin of your pants hanging over your buttocks, off your buttocks.
They know. They don't care. They tell me. They said, so what? That's the style they're wearing.
Listen, I used to drive for
transit. You're absolutely correct.
And I used to drive for transit, and one of my passengers was a young man, nice cut young man, but he had his pants sagging. So when I called him back to my driver's seat and told, young man, do you know the origin of the pants hanging? He said, no. When I told him, guess what? The following day and days after, he had his pants up. He had his pants up. So I just maintain a lot of these young men who want to go along to get along, they want to be seen like a square or a punk. They wear their pants down and not caring, not really knowing the origin of what it means. Like years ago, young men would wear their sneakers unlaced. In the hot, blazing sun, they wear these flip-flops with sweat socks on.
Right.
That's a prison guard.
Let me see if we got the Black Rose back here.
Yeah.
She went in an elevator. That's what happened to her, and I think she might be back with us right now. I'm just going to try to check here and see and refresh this situation here. Are you with us, Black Rose? Okay, not there. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to be losing out here in 2 minutes and going on. So if you can, and if you, Black Rose, are you there? Okay, why don't we do this? Like 30-second soundbite on the way out. Sister Dunning, what would you like to say? And then next, Dr. Criswell, then Canty, and then Sister Sarah.
Well, I know a lot of people say, this is my little sound bite, a lot of people say don't vote, but I am going to vote because I want my vote to count.
Thank you. Dr. Criswell, sound bite, 30 seconds on our way out.
That's the reason why we don't have the voice that we should have in a lot of instances. Is that we don't vote as we should. Make your way to that voting pool, and vote. It does count.
Okay. This Brother Canty.
Yes, I feel that we need to be very clear about how this rigged policy with the Democrats has to be arrested, because they are making fools out of us, and we should not be considered a firewall for Hillary.
Thank you. And Sister Sarah, you get the last word for the day.
My voice is that get voter educated first. You just don't go to the polls and vote. You don't go to the polls to exercise. You want to exercise, you go run around a track. That's what a track is for, not a voting booth. And most of us, we don't know the candidates, we don't know their policies, we don't know anything, but we just feel because they're black, and we're supposed to vote, that we can go and vote. Educate yourself first before even going and pulling the lever.